Nearly one out of three Black people in America know someone personally who has died from COVID-19. That's according to a Washington Post Ipsos poll. And while we're now at a point where an effective vaccine is on the horizon, there's concern over whether people will trust it. Black people make up 13% of the population here in the U.S., but only on average 5% of vaccine trial participants. All of this was on the mind of Dr. Chris Purnell. The New Jersey public health physician signed up for the Moderna vaccine trial after her father, Timothy Purnell Sr., died from the virus in April. And Dr. Purnell, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. It's been a surreal time. I think those are the best words that I can use to describe it. We lost my dad at a time when the epicenter of the pandemic had firmly landed on Newark, New Jersey. And as I like to describe for people, just to get a sense of the gravity, it firmly landed on us.
Your father, what a guy. He worked for Bell Labs for more than 30 years. He was a husband, a father to you and your siblings. As you mentioned, he died right at the time when we were really grappling with this pandemic in April. We're still very much so. But how did he get sick with COVID-19?
So my father was actually battling for his life in the fall and winter of 2019, and we weren't sure he was going to survive, but my dad is the bionic man. And so he actually got discharged from the hospital on New Year's Day, 2020, and went to subacute rehab. And we saw subacute rehab as an opportunity for physical reconditioning, to stabilize him. And as he would describe, you know, I just want to get back home to live out the home stretch of my life surrounded by family and my grandkids. And so that's what we were doing when unexpectedly my dad got something that we call medically a line infection. He had been on long-term antibiotics at the subacute rehab and suddenly became ill one day with unstable vitals, very high fevers. And he had about three of those episodes before his care team said, look, we're going to have to test him for coronavirus. It's rampant throughout the hospital. And unfortunately, he got it.
Oh, I am so sorry, doctor. You also lost your cousin to the virus.
Yes.
And your sister tested positive.
Yes. Actually, today are the virtual services for my cousin. He suffered what is believed to be a complication of COVID, catastrophic stroke and blood clots in his lungs. Young man, late 50s, vivacious, full of life, and coronavirus snubbed and stole another life in my family. And my sister, who has just been our champion, a breast cancer survivor, my sister likely got exposed at work and she got sick and has been fighting coronavirus, is what we call a long hauler. And at one had to be on supplemental oxygen, which she just ended about a few weeks ago, but she's yet to return to work.
All of this, your role as a doctor, as a daughter, as a Black woman, all of this, I can imagine, inform your decision to volunteer for Moderna's vaccine trial.
Yes. COVID had taken so much from me. I had to take something from it. And I needed a way to live forward my father's legacy. My dad was a research scientist. And so I didn't hesitate when this opportunity presented itself. I believe in public health science. And finally, I would also add, I'm very well aware, being a doctor that focuses on health equity, of the health inequities that Blacks and Browns face, in particular around our participation in clinical research. And I knew that if we represented, that inequity would only continue and persist. So those are all of the things that were going on in my emotional and spiritual milieu that definitely solidified this choice for me.
Well, let's talk a little about that. The statistics from vaccine trials show Black people are vastly underrepresented in these trials. We've talked quite a bit about the inherent and often warranted distrust Black people have had with medicine and science because of the Tuskegee experiments and others. But what are some of the reasons you believe in 2020 why Black people are still underrepresented?
You started the conversation where we still have to start. That historical legacy of medical experimentation and exploitation still weighs collectively on the psyche of Black folks and Black communities. And academic medicine and healthcare more generally has not done enough to demonstrate trustworthiness. And when I say has not done enough, we have to start by centering on the history and validating the fears and concerns. And then we have to make sure that we are informing Black and Brown communities of opportunities in socially and culturally fluent ways. And then we have to make sure that Blacks feel seen. And I say that and I pause because we don't only have historical issues. We don't only have access and issues around opportunity. We also have issues around ongoing disparities in healthcare, right? And a part of those ongoing disparities in healthcare is that Blacks don't see themselves reflected in healthcare. And the more we can increase Black frontline physicians and healthcare providers, it messages to the community that I see you, that your input and your lived experiences are necessary for our understanding. So we've got a lot of work to do in healthcare. We've got a lot of work.
Doctor, that's the long game. But what about the moment? I mean, we're talking about this vaccine rolling out in the next couple of weeks and months. As we've been talking about Black people disproportionately dying at higher rates from this virus, the trust building needs to happen now. And what does that look like?
Trust is a day in, day out mission. And I say that because that's what I spend a lot of my professional and personal time doing. I just received a text from a community member here in Newark, New Jersey, and she said, "Doc, I gotta be honest. You know, as a Black woman, people are coming to me. They're asking me, how do I feel about this vaccine? And I don't know, do I come out publicly and say that I support it?" So those intimate opportunities where I say, what specifically concerns you about receiving this particular vaccine? We know that there are fears and concerns around the timeline. We need to educate and inform why that happened. Why was it able to happen at a quicker pace? So that's one thing. Another thing is that federal government put so much money, over $9 billion into this process, which removed economic disincentives that drug companies had not to explore manufacturing and testing at the same time, because typically that doesn't happen in clinical research. So we have to share details and facts like that in plain language. Mm. We have to speak in plain language about the safety data that's known that, yes, this is a reactogenic vaccine. And what I mean by that is if you take it, you could feel very fatigued. You could have soreness, but you're not infected because you were not exposed to a dead or an activated virus. You were exposed to a genetic code that gave instructions to your body to build a protein so you could mount an immune response. For some people, that level of reassurance is going to help them to say in this day, yes, I want to get vaccinated. And for other people, we're going to have to put the work in, and that's going to be across days, weeks, months, and even years.
Can we ask you a little bit about your experience in these vaccine trials? You participated in double-blind trials, which means you weren't told you were getting the real vaccine. Do you think you got a placebo or the real thing? And what was that experience like?
You know, I don't know, right? That's the complexity and the beauty of double-blinded research. But I can tell you, I've never regretted this decision. So the first injection that I received was at the end of August. It hurt, but not such to the point that I couldn't do my activities of daily living. About 28 days later, I got my second injection. That injection was in the beginning of October. All I can say about it was that I got the pain and the tenderness in my arm, but by the end of that day, I was severely fatigued, so much so that I took a while to get out of my car. I had a severe headache, and then within 24 hours, I started to improve. 36 hours and definitely 48 hours, I felt like I was back at my baseline. So I don't know. That could just be me experiencing placebo effect, or I could have received the actual vaccine. But I can tell you, I have never looked back.
As we've been saying, the vaccine will be rolling out over the next few months. Dr. Purnell, your parting words.
I start with two verbs, listen and speak up. And I say listen mainly on the side of healthcare and academic medicine. listen to their fears. We can't begin to demonize or to create stigma around that skepticism, especially in Black and brown communities, because it will backfire on us. And for those who are still considering, or those who say, I know this is definitely not for me, find someone that you trust and you value and have a back and forth conversation. And that person that you trust and value could be like the National Medical Association, a professional body of Black physicians and Black physician scientists who are in covenant with their community like I am. And from there, I'm hopeful that people will come to the point where they can make an informed choice and decision, because we definitely need this tool in our toolkit.
Dr. Chris Purnell is a public health physician in Newark, New Jersey, and she participated in a Moderna vaccine trial. Her father, Timothy Purnell, died of COVID-19 in April. He was 78 years old. Doctor, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.